down, the Lord said, you won't use but one. It's like, oh, man. Well, here we go. John chapter 8, verse 11, or 31, excuse me. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold to my teachings, you see, God's not going to rewrite this book. This book is written, and it is solid, it is secure, it is standard, and if you don't agree with it, too bad. Get in line with it, because it's not going to be wrong. God is not interested in your opinion. He doesn't care what you believe, but he does tell you and I to learn to line up with his word. Because that's what it says in here is, if we're going to really be called children of God, disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, if we're going to be spokesmen and women for him, if we're going to do anything for him, we have to make sure that we are speaking what he's already written. If you and I are not going to speak or live according to what he's already written, what are we doing this for? Because God is not going to be pleased with anything else other than what he's already written. That pleases the Lord. Jesus Christ says, I am the Word. He was the Word. He is the Word. So if Jesus Christ lived out his life and he says that he was the Word, the Bible says in Hebrews 1:3 that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. So you can't picture the Father any different than what Jesus demonstrated through his life of 33 years of life. Everything he did is exactly as the Father would have him to say. Because when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him, what did God say to him? This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. There's going to be a rare occasion, I shouldn't say a rare occasion, there's going to be a rude awakening when many people stand before the Lord and they're going to stand there with all their goodness and all whatever they think they are, and God's going to look at them and say, depart from me, I don't know you. Throw that worthless servant into the where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you don't believe me, look at your scripture. The reality is that I have to learn how to be a disciple. And if I'm going to be a disciple, I'm going to hold to the teachings that was given through the Word of God. I'm going to hold on to that. My opinion's not going to waver. My decisions on my life are not going to waver. I am going to line up in accordance with God's Word. I don't care how socially unacceptable it is. We are not going to bow our knee to anyone other than Jesus Christ. Because if you deny him, the Bible says if you deny him before man, I'll deny you before my Father. Wow! Can you imagine that? But that is not a word that's being spoken very prominent in our world today. Today you hear, oh, just because you're born, God loves you and you're all going to heaven. Baloney! That doesn't say that in here. Yes, God loves you, but his love loves you enough to transform you to become what he desired you to be, not what you were. If I was okay with where I was, what'd I need Jesus for? So the reality is that God needs a representation of who he is on the earth today. And guess who that is? You and me. Now, I'm not isolating, saying nobody else is. I'm saying we're here today. God is definitely my Savior. I don't know about you, but I pray that he's your Savior. And if he's your Savior, he now wants to become Lord, King, and Master. That what he says, we do. When he tells us to move, we move. When he tells us to do things, we do it. Why? Because he's in charge. We're not. And so, if I'm going to enjoy the freedom that God gave us through Jesus Christ, then I will need to hold on to the truths of God's Word so that what I hold on to will never lead me down the path of doing something God never intended me to do. And if I'm going to hold on to the truths of God's Word, I need to be very, very particular who I hang with, where I go, and why am I doing what I'm doing? Because all of those will either take you towards Christ and walk with Him, or it'll take you away from Christ and to lead you down a wrong path. Let me give you a prime example. Turn to I might have to go to my notes. Judges 16. Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, right in there. Judges 16, Samson, when he was born, was told that a razor should never touch his hair. Never. And so far up to a certain point, that took place. So he says, verse 1, one day Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute, and he went to spend the night with her. And the people of Gaza were told, Samson is here. So they surrounded the place and lay wait for him all night at the city gate. And they made no move during the night, saying, at dawn we'll kill him. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate together with the two posts and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of that place, whose name was Delilah. And the rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, see if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how he can overpower him so we may tie him and subdue him, and each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. And Samson answered her, if anyone ties me with 7 fresh thongs that have not been dried, I'll become weak as any other man. Do you see what's happening? God had his hand on Samson's life. There was an amazing strength that took place in that man because God gave it to him. But Samson failed to protect what God gave him. We just took communion this morning. Everything about communion tells us what Jesus Christ has given us. And if you and I decide to walk out these doors and begin to do whatever it is we want to do without God's permission, without God's ways, without God's understanding, we too will lose the very strength that He promised out of His Scripture, and you and I will fall to sin just like Samson did. We will lose the strength that God wants done in our life, that strength that He's given us. So they went through this process a couple times, and of course Delilah continued to come to him and sweet talk him, and he kind of fell for it. So she kept on asking. In verse 17 it says, so he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazarite, set apart to God since birth. Do you realize the enemy doesn't care how long it takes to get you? All he needs is one choice. One choice can ruin your life. One decision can stop everything that God wants done. That has become more of a reality for me in the ministry we have here at New Life. I realize that no matter what has come up to this point, tomorrow it could all be gone because of one choice. One choice. Therefore, when you are tempted to allow the strength that God has established in you up to this point, be very careful that you don't play with the enemy. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, verse 18, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, come back once more. He has told me everything. So the rulers and the Philistines returned with silver in their hands. Having put him to sleep in her lap, she called a man to shave the 7 braids of hair and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He woke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. What a sad day. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles, and they set him to grinding in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow back after it had been shaved. But you know what? He would have never had to lose it had he never gone where he wasn't supposed to be. If he'd have protected like he had up to that point, if he'd have continued to protect. Yes, he had done a great job protecting it up to that point. But what about the rest of his life? What about that day when Delilah came and continued to ask him and said, if you love me, you'll tell me these things. And basically he did. He ended up giving away the very thing God told him. This had never happened in your life. And so we have to be very, very careful that even though God has spoken to my life and your life up to this point, we're not done yet. God still has things that need to be done. And in order for them to be done, you and I have to experience and know the freedom we have in knowing and obeying what God says day after day, time after time, denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and walking with Him daily, every day of our life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In other words, the reality is that even though this had happened in Samson's life, he missed a great opportunity to continue to walk out the rest of his life the way God intended. I don't know what that means, and I'm not going to go there because he doesn't tell us. All I know is that Samson made one bad decision. And then he made another one. You know, you and I are only one decision. I got a tickle in my throat. We're only one decision away from doing something that will completely eliminate what God had in mind. You see, Samson was free to do everything God had in mind. He was free. Free. Until something took place. He made a decision to say something to someone that he shouldn't have done. He shouldn't have been where he was. And next thing you know, he lost everything. Don't lose what God has given you because you want something temporary. Don't forsake what God has spoken to you just because you don't see it happening quick enough. Don't lose track of what God is saying, because the freedom that you and I have here today, we get to enjoy all because of what Jesus Christ did for my life on His life, His death, and His resurrection. And I don't know about you, but He did not design us to go back into bondage. He designed us to live as free men and women for Him. So don't let sin come back in and ruin and regulate your life. Don't go back where you came from, because if it was that good where you came from, it should be, you know what I mean? Why go back into what you came out of? We see that all the time. People get set free and all of a sudden they go right back into the old junk they just came out of. What for? It wasn't good before. Why are we going back? But you'll be tempted. You know why? Because that was an area that the enemy had success in your life. You might have had a fetish with buying things you absolutely didn't need. You spent money and did whatever. I'm just going to pick on something different than smoking, drinking, and all the other things, okay? But the reality is you might have used all your money for things that you just wanted to buy for yourself. And all of a sudden you come to Christ and you begin to serve God, but all of a sudden you just get kind of lazy and you get real dissatisfied. It's like, well, I'm going to go buy something. Pretty soon you're back into the old routine of doing what you did. Why? Because it was easy. You did it before. Now you've got to stay away from the very thing that the enemy had success in your life when you were younger. So stay away from those areas and then watch God continue to strengthen you for the days ahead. I tell you what, enjoy your freedom that God has given you. Enjoy your freedom. He says in Galatians chapter 5, don't allow yourselves to be yoked together by a bondage of slavery. A bondage of slavery. Don't walk into slavery again. I want to encourage you today, be free. Live as free people in Jesus Christ. And the only way that can happen is when you and I surrender to the work that God wants to do inside of me today. And when tomorrow morning when I wake up, the work that He wants to do in me tomorrow, I just surrender to that. And Tuesday when I wake up, I surrender to the work that He's doing. And Wednesday when I wake up, I surrender to the work that He wants to do. Why? Because God is doing this daily inside of us. He doesn't just do it on Sunday. He wants to do something in me every day. And as God is doing something in me every day, I begin to be able to be free over and over and over again from the very things that would try to stop me from doing what God had in mind. One more scripture and then I got to quit because I got a nursing home today. Proverbs 4. I've loved this verse for a long time. Verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says this. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your heart is the very core part of you that believes, that lives, that whatever you believe, whatever you desire to do in life, it comes out of your heart. Here he says, above all else, guard your heart. You know you got a rib cage for a reason? It's to guard those vital organs. Well, the Bible says we're to guard our heart. We're to set boundaries around our heart so that we absolutely don't allow the enemy to step in and to begin to raise havoc with the very thing that needs to be important in your life. Are you guarding it today? Because people that don't guard their heart, anything goes. How easy is that? You want to know why the world looks like they're having way more fun? Because they don't care how much pain they got to go through down the road when everything crashes. Of course sinning is fun. But what's the consequence down the road? When does payday show up? And then how much fun are you going to have? If I could have everybody sit with me when I sit at people at the end of their life and they sit there and repent over saying, I wish I would have changed. I wish I would have done this. I wish. And it's all things that behavioral that could have stopped back when they were young. Payday showed up and all of a sudden, what are you going to do now? But guess what? When you serve Jesus, when payday comes, it's like, woohoo, we're going to heaven, baby. Come on. There's a bonus to walking with God. There's something inside of that. Yes, you're gonna have to face resistance. You're gonna be resistant towards things, but it's well worth it because you know that what you're walking out is exactly what Jesus promised. And when Jesus promised, when your life is done, guess what? You can stand before Him with confidence and say, I did it. I did everything you asked. What you put me on the earth for, I fulfilled. I did it for you, Jesus. Rather than cowering your head and knowing that you're in the holy presence of a holy God and His judgment is going to be honest, pure, and just. It's going to be fair. And if He says you're guilty, you're going to hell. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you're going to hell. And no, you won't be able to see anybody. No, you won't be able to know anybody. No, you won't be able to do all the things that you think you're going to do in hell. People have a lot of misconceptions about hell. But it's full of torment and pain. Forever, eternal fire, never quenching. Therefore, I have a motivation in my life, absolutely, that I can't wait to walk with Jesus today. Why? Because He's the best thing going, and I can't wait to walk with someone who died for me. He gave His life for me. I can't wait to do that. Why? Because in learning what He did for me, I pay Him, I don't say I pay Him back, I can't wait to give Him back my life so that I can do what needs to be done of why I was created. And I pray that that's your hearts today as well. The enemy is a tough taskmaster. He gets you hooked, and he can't wait to drag you to hell with him and be in torment for the rest of eternity. But I pray that you and I wise up, and we don't go down the road of letting him continue to lead us and guide us. I don't care how much fun the world is having, it's not worth. The psalmist said, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. One day with Jesus is way better than 1,000 elsewhere. I tell you what, that's an amazing thought when you think about it. And the devil never had one good thing to say about you anyway. He lies. He's the father of lies, so guess what he's doing when he's talking to you? He's just telling you a bunch of stuff to hopefully get you deceived so that you'll follow him. Jesus never lied to you. When he says, I've got more thoughts about you than the sands of the seashore, man alive, he's telling you the truth. So what a joy it is to see what God's doing. This morning, do you have anything? Okay, I think I have to. What time is it? Okay, I got to. He's got a couple. You might as well finish up for me.
Well, as Jeff said, you know, live as free people. I just want to read on 1 Peter. You don't have to go there. Where it says, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. And it just links up into Romans, where it says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. So, without holiness, we don't receive eternal life. And without holiness, we can't become a slave of God. Therefore, we need to be righteousness, which will lead to holiness, which will lead to eternal life. So, Father God, as we proclaim today that your word is truth and what we read was truthful, that you cannot lie because you're all truth, and what you say is, and that your word has been brought forth to be put in front of this nation and to be put in front of the nations, that Jesus Christ is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Without the way, you will not find the truth and you will receive no life. Well, Father God, we accept the way. We receive the truth and we will reap the life of benefits that you have given us for eternal salvation from this day forward. But Father God, I just ask that you strengthen us and that you give us wisdom and knowledge that we need to speak the truth to the lost as we offer ourselves, just as Jesus offered himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you're not free from something that's trying to destroy you today, these guys that are up front here...